How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, recording live from HR Transform in Las Vegas out of the Wynn Resort. And we are continuing our conversations about busting leadership in HR Mets. And joining us today is the CEO of Cleary, Thomas. Welcome. Thanks for hanging out.
Nice to be here, Jim.
Super pumped to have you here. Before we get to the myth busting part of the conversation, it's going to be important for you to let the viewers and the people that are going to be watching this know a little bit more about your story and really even what Cleary does.
Yes, absolutely. I'm the founder, CEO of Cleary, and I'm an Indian American immigrant. Been here for many decades, grew up in New York, but moved out to the Bay Area a while back. Shout out to Kerala. There we go, Jim. I moved out to the Bay Area chasing that dream. Go West, young man, they said, and always been into software products and technology. And that's what drew me out there. I've had a career building different types of software products at venture-backed companies as well as scale-ups. And it was eventually what drew me to doing Cleary, which is an employee experience platform. Think of it as a modern intranet. And it's really based off of a lot of my experiences building such tools internally at Twitter, where we built up this really cool set of tools that tweets we're using every single day. And it's led us on this journey where we're partnering with people leaders, internal communications leaders, IT leaders, as we figure out the future of work, which has been zigging and zagging as with remote work and hybrid work, as well as this era of efficiency that we're now in 23, 24, which is one of the themes that we're hearing in the conference here, where people leaders are asked to do more with less. So we're there in the mix, and I love working with people leaders who are trying to figure out what a great future organization would look like, because it's going to look very different in a few years than it does now.
One of the interesting things that you just mentioned was your transition from Twitter into Cleary and starting up that organization. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at spending a lot of time in a resource-rich environment like Twitter and then coming to a scrappy startup, what was the biggest lesson learned in making that pivot that you didn't expect?
That's interesting. So you're talking about resources. And of course, when you think about resources, you're thinking about money and people. But some of the other resources that actually a bigger brand brings is actually the brand and then the halo effect of the initial success, which is something you need to build from scratch. So to some degree, you're like the moon reflecting some of the light that's coming in from the existing brand value and content to be successful. And you need to create that context. So some of the biggest surprises there was just like learning processes, for example, go-to-market motion, how to do sales, how to work with people who don't know you because you don't have the context that you're working at the same company, for example. There's a lot of skill sets where the halo effect of the brand gets you much farther ahead. Well, that's something you need to build on your own when you're building out a new company.
That's a really great point about the power of an established brand and how that impacts a lot of your strategy. So when you switch gears and look at, okay, how do you overcome that as a scrappy startup? How did you do that? You don't have the brand of Twitter to rely on. So you're a virtual unknown when you're starting up. You're really unknown when you're starting up. So what were the levers that you pulled to still get the talent that you wanted and still present a compelling vision that attracts people to the organization?
Part of the advantage I had was several years of experience working in different companies, which were actually considered leaders in what they were doing. So I did, first of all, borrow whatever brand equity I had from my own personal career into any conversation I was having with folks that I was meeting to talk about Cleary. Now, that includes like outreach and how I connect with new people about the vision that we had, because it was grounded in some realities of some experiences that we had from previous roles, which helps build more trust. But also you're leveraging your own network as much as you can to create some goodwill that you built over your career. But in some degree, you're cashing that all in because you're going off to do this whole thing. And you're in this world of being very humble and asking for favors while you get to the point of creating proof, which then creates a snowball effect and your own brand and your own idea of what this new company is in the market.
Awesome stuff. You ready to bust some myths?
Sure, let's do
it. All right. So I've been talking to executives and senior leaders in HR all week, talking about the leadership or HR myths that they wish would just die. So what's yours?
It's interesting. I can speak to this from the perspective of an entrepreneur. So I've worked at big companies and led broader, bigger teams. I've been part of like management trainings and leadership trainings. And as I was going off to start Cleary, I thought that all of that about leadership and management, all of that would be pretty useless in the context of a startup. Because what you need to do there, you need to be scrappy. You just need to figure things out. You have a small team. You're talking about leadership. You're thinking about leading people, but you're leading yourself and maybe a couple other people. Everyone better be aligned if you're going to do everything else. That was what was floating around in my head as a reality of the skill sets that it takes to be successful at a startup. Leadership is just not in the mix. But then when I was actually getting into it, it was very clear that the leadership dynamics come into frame when you are, first of all, just working with yourself, because when you're working in a small team and you have accountability at this whole other level than you do at a larger company setting, that is difficult to pull off without the ability to lead yourself, being accountable to yourself. And then even when you have a team of two, literally, leadership dynamics come into frame. Little micro decisions like, when would you meet? How do you hold each other accountable? What's the next step we're going to do there? Who would make what decision? It even comes to be when you have just even two people. But then even broader than that, when you're going out to market and you're talking to potential customers or customers, what you're really doing there is leading them to a vision, which is what you're trying to birth out of nothing by anything, by any meaning. That is the definition of creating a company. And so you're actually having to think really hard about the vision for the company in a compelling way that actually attracts people from all sides. And of course, there's talent after the fact. So the moment you have any form of success in terms of customers, right away, you're taking those skill sets into recruiting. And even just recruiting one person to come join you on that journey where they're taking a significant part of their life to work with you on this vision, it's pretty distinct. Because if you think about it, it's a risky move versus working at a company where they already know many other people are. So it was a significant part of the skill set to be successful, even in the early days.
When you made that mindset shift, how did you see that impact your team and the velocity that your organization ran at when you started paying really strong attention to core leadership competencies and skills?
The moment of reflection is when you see that particular outcomes aren't working out well, like we're not meeting deadlines, we're not closing customers, or we're not able to actually like recruit talent the way that we want to. So it comes from this period of reflection. And each of those takes a different kind of activity to get there. But then it's measured in just progress and results. We had an iterative approach to all of these things, but then we knew we were on the right track because we are getting closer to those results faster. So it's like speed of velocities and outcomes, I would say.
Awesome stuff. So I know we're just scratching the surface on this conversation and we could probably talk about this a lot longer, but that's not the format of this show. So if people want to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to get in touch with people?
They can find me at thomas@gocleary.com, GOCLEARY.com, and also on LinkedIn, Thomas Kunjapu.
Thanks for hanging out and busting some myths with us. Stay tuned for more conversations where we're going to be busting more HR and leadership myths at HR Transform 2024. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.